Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. Good afternoon and welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's April 2nd, 2010. I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Today, for the first time on Blog Talk Radio, she's going to talk about a momentous discovery she made about what she calls star-marking codes. For most of her life, Lavendar has been a contact of a benevolent race of beings from the Pleiades star system, and she's been working with them directly for over 25 years. She knew that one of her assignments was to be a scribe, keeping a journal about ET experiments, projects, and her experiences with them. Now, the journals of these experiences were locked in a bank vault with a Pleiadian directive to hold the information for a future generation. She's also a galactic astrologer, crystal master, published author of two books, Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, and 50 Questions and Answers, which is a transcript of a transmission from a being named Silavon at the Antares Arcturus Midway Station. Taking her responsibility very seriously, she waited quietly for their signal to release her journals, and now is the time. The first chapter to be released is her discovery of star markings, which was the result of a 3.5-year Pleiadian demonstration. This astonishing discovery would be the key to understanding ET timing, their experiments, their choices of people, and their starseed offspring. As a matter of fact, it was Lavendar who first used the term starseed in the 70s. Over a series of broadcasts here on Blog Talk Radio, she'll be sharing chapters from her journals of firsthand experiences with the Pleiadians and other ET races. On our website, starseedhotline.com, you'll find information from her work that can't be found anywhere else, along with her books. The website is specially coded for Starseed, Lightworkers, Walk-ins, Indigos, and all other brands of Starseed. During her years of recording information about her assignments, she often found herself a conduit of guidance between the Pleiadians and many high-profile people, including celebrities, politicians, and numerous key people on the planet, helping them navigate their missions here. And now it's my honor to introduce Lavendar. And Lavendar, I would like to just start with, tell us what you were doing when this whole discovery of star markings started.
It all started right after I bought an A-frame house at Cripple Creek, Colorado, and was taking a break away from psychic counseling for a while. You know, whenever I travel into town on a long trip, you know, I take my ephemeris, which is a book that shows the astronomical placements of planets, and I'd look at a person's birth date. You know, I'd completed my studies to be an astrologer at the Academy of Atlantis in California back in 1975, and had used those tools in order to tune into people to assist them with their life's path. When I didn't have access to a chart, you know, I'd just simply look at the ephemeris for the planet placements.
And that gives you a pretty good idea.
Right. Gives me, you know, in my head, I just kind of would form the planets where they were. It was just a way of, you know, when you travel, especially in those days, you know, in the early, we didn't have the computers that we have now.
Right. You didn't have a laptop.
No, didn't have that.
Okay.
So, but a curious thing happened, you know, right after the eclipse on February 16th, 1980, which I must add, was 26 Aquarius, which no matter where I was or who I was meeting for the first time, I was finding people with 25, 26, 27 degree planets. It made no difference whether they were young or old. Everyone, I mean everyone, had these 25, 26, 27 degree planets, which now are the three of the seven markings that I call starseed codes. You know, at first I thought, well, isn't that cute? But then it became apparent that something was entering my life from the twilight zone as I finally figured out that the odds of this happening were right off the astronomical chart of probabilities.
That's mind-boggling.
You know,
everybody you asked.
Right, everybody. And, you know, an astrology wheel has 360 degrees in total. And there are 12 astrological signs with 30 degrees in each sign. So, to my amazement, there were only 36 chances out of 360 that I would find someone with one of these three particular starseed codes. So, why was I only drawn to people with these markings?
And you just had an impulse to ask them when their birthday was.
Right. And I had no idea, you know, no one told me up front, well, this is going to be an experiment, write this down. No, I just kind of stumbled into it. It was like a free fall that I was in. That's the only way I can describe it. You know, when I think back of all the different people that I would ask for their birth information, you know, chefs, taxi cab drivers, stewardess, pilots, hairdressers, doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, etc., and how they were somehow just some way guided to be in my path, then I'd have to figure that this was some kind of galactically designed plan. You know, one time I was in this restaurant, and on impulse I stood up and announced that I was working on a project and I needed to have everyone's birthday. So I passed a tablet around for everyone to write their information. There were about 75 people in the restaurant, and I was surely going to find one that was not starseed. Wrong. Every person had the markings. I just about flipped.
Every person.
Yeah, I just flipped. You know, what made those people all be there at that moment? And why did I stand up and ask for their birth dates? This is when I knew how planned out this was by beings a lot more attuned than I. Of course, later that night, I drank a lot of wine because now it was beyond the beyond in tracking.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, you didn't have that impulse all the time, just at certain times, and you didn't know why it would happen, but it just did.
It just did. Now, this went on from February 16, 1980, until November 18, 1983. In those 3.5 years, every single person I felt compelled to ask, every person that I met, you know, had these star markings. It was clearly a demonstration orchestrated by advanced beings. Then it stopped suddenly. Over. I remember the timing because it coincided with the completion of another galactic assignment. It had been my task to lead 18 people, one of whom was a famous actress and author, in a two-night initiation ceremony that took place inside the Great Pyramid of Giza in Cairo, Egypt, on what I call Pleiadian lineup. This is an alignment of planets to the Pleiades, which happens twice each year. I had in my possession 40 pounds of tiny, double-terminated quartz crystals, which I had been telepathically directed to acquire and bring to the pyramid. They had been secreted away into the Queen's Chamber for those two nights, while a group of off-planet Pleiadians placed codes of frequency within these crystals. When I asked for an explanation of how powerful these crystals were, all that was told to me is that they resonated to the seventh celestial power and that we had nothing on this planet with which to measure that. I was only to know that they held a balancing beam that would be placed between man and nature and that their energy would be time released through the coded star markings of 25, 26, 27 degree astronomical timing. A hot blast. Now I was beginning to comprehend the purpose of the demonstration and the grand design of the last 3.5 years. And these are just two pieces of the puzzle.
So it all just tied in right then and there. You had no idea about the pattern of 25, 26, 27, but when they coded the crystals with that frequency, then it all started to make sense to you.
Yeah, it was like an aha moment.
The old light bulb, huh?
Yeah, the old light bulb. You know, I would refer to these crystals later as the Giza crystals. You know, I've tracked some of their comings and goings, you know, over the last 25 years, these crystals that have just gone out all over the planet. And since my book was published, which was Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, I knew a lot of crystal light workers that devoted, you know, much of their time to planting crystals around the world at sacred sites, trees, lakes, buildings, monuments. And one place in particular that has more Giza crystals than any other place, and that's Ayers Rock in Australia.
Wow.
You know, I received a lot of calls and letters from people telling me that they'd been instructed to fly to Australia and plant these Giza crystals at Ayers Rock. Just think about it. You know, some they wake up in the morning and they go, I've got to take the crystals to Australia, which means they got to go get on an airplane and fly. 100 people.
Oh my.
100 people.
It's like Richard Dreyfuss in
right.
Close Encounters.
Absolutely. Well, just very So, yeah, about 100 people wrote me letters or called me and told me that they had ventured to Ayers Rock to plant these crystals. And I kept wondering, why so many people that were spiritually or galactically drawn to take these crystals to Ayers Rock?
And they didn't know each other.
No, they didn't. And last year, which is like, you know, how many years later, 25 years later, I get a phone call from someone who told me that the hieroglyphic that had been found in one of the newly discovered pyramids in Egypt now matched the same hieroglyph that is on the top of Ayers Rock. And when I heard the translation, I just about fell to my knees, because they both referred to time travel. Wow. Is that how off the chart is that?
Wow.
So my first thought was, oh my goodness, I wonder if they're going to levitate Ayers Rock as a demonstration. You know, that rock is huge.
I know. I've seen it. I mean, not in person I've seen it, but I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
It's just sitting there out in the middle of the flat. It's not mountains or anything. It's just just like somebody just dropped it there.
Right.
And it's got crystals all around it.
Yeah, the Giza crystals.
The
right.
Giza crystals, right.
So back to November 18th of 1983, when the high strangeness demonstration about asking people for their birth dates stopped. Now, very few would have these markings. In fact, no one that I met on my palm had any of these markings. And I paid close attention to this oddity. It's like I did a human galactic Geiger counter, finding star seeds. And once I was through with the demonstration, it just all changed.
And did you still feel the impulse to ask that person, or were you just asking and not finding?
I was asking and not finding.
And the impulse was gone.
Yep.
You were doing it out of habit by that time.
Right. Okay, what happened next was that I was drawn to starseed walk-ins and light workers without asking for their birth information. I just knew. That's what the 3.5 years of demonstration had taught me. I had become so familiar with the energy of the starseed that I didn't need the ephemeris. I usually, you know, go up to a stranger, hand them a Giza crystal, and just keep walking. After all these years, though, I've come to know that these crystal energies are time-released and activate on their own. But I've noticed that when the planets are in these galactic degrees of star code, they seem to be activated the most than any other time.
So they continue to resonate to galactic degree.
Right.
Which is what you now call 25, 26, just 27
right.
degree
right.
placements.
You know, in my little crystal book, when I published it, and of course it's out of print now, and possibly we'll put it on ebook on the site. But in the back has a calendar of the dates to put your crystals out in the sun to be coded on these dates. That's outdated now from the book. I only have like 50 books left anyway. But someone might want to take a look at our website and order one. But anyway, back to what I was saying about the activation of these crystals on these dates. You know, I worked exclusively with these codes for 8 years after the demonstration was over. And then the next level of training started with a bolt of lightning, literally. Actually, it was 4 bolts of lightning.
Okay, we got to hear about that.
I can pinpoint the date. It was June 5th, 1991, when forces came to put me on the path to the next level of star code knowledge and tracking. I was living in a house in North Georgia, and that morning a red cardinal kept flinging itself against my window. And in the past, I've experienced feathered beings bringing me messages about certain timings. I had known that it was time to leave the area, but didn't know where to go. Then I had a visitor from Florida who wanted a reading, and I was reluctant since I was taking a break from doing readings, but she kept pressing me, so finally I agreed. The house had a screened-in porch surrounded by big, tall pine trees, and as I was preparing to speak about her starseed planets, lightning struck to my left. Since I'd been struck by lightning 3 times in my life, and that's another whole story, I decided that this time I wanted to use it and not be afraid. The first strike hit a tree, and I breathed in. I became aware that I was taking some kind of power and energy into my system. It seemed to increase my energy and courage, and I just kept talking. Then the second strike happened to my right, again a tree. Both strikes were in front of me as I looked south. I breathed in again, gaining strength and courage, and, you know, within 30 minutes, there were 2 more strikes in back of me, thus the 4 directions. Yeah. The trees were charred and smoking. My client was quivering.
After she begged for the reading.
Right. But I was feeling like I'd conquered my lightning fear, you know? It was major for me. After the reading, she offered me her home in Florida for me to house it. And there was the opening to leave Georgia. As I walked away from the cabin, an eagle flew over me, and it occurred to me that I was indeed to go to Florida to find the eagles, which is, again, another whole story.
Right.
In about a month, when I was visiting a girl in Fort Lauderdale, I found a keystone that took my code training and tracking to the next level. It showed me about genius and where the evolution of the planet was actually going. At my friend's house, I was waiting to receive a fax from another friend in California, and she and I had been working on a project with actor environmentalist Dennis Weaver, who had gotten a request to help with a documentary on Nobel Peace Prize winners, and she wanted me to look at the proposal she was faxing. While waiting for this 85-page fax to come through, I got an unexpected call from a lady who was going to hear a man lecture that night, and she insisted that I go with her. Imagine the jolt I got when I found out about his subject, the Nobel Prize winners. Looking back, not a mere coincidence that I met this man named Roy Tate, who was the author of the book called The Astrology of Genius. He had done an astrological study of 427 Nobel Prize winners, looking for a pattern of similarities in their charts. His birthday was September 16th, so he had a 26-degree Virgo sun. I went to his lecture and spent time with Heather ever since 1980.
Wow. Whew.
Now, the interesting part, really, is that this particular program that's been running for a long time on this planet from the Pleiades is a program that the Pleiadians run with 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29 degrees of Taurus. You know, the time of Atlantis was the age of Taurus, and that constellation was very active during that time. So every 26,000 years, it cycles. The age of Taurus for Atlantis was Pleiadian. They had to play in Egypt, and they've got to play now. So in the harmonic relation, 25, 26, 27, of each sign has to do with the activation of all the galactic species to come back and finish what they started so long ago.
Wow. That's going to take a while to sink in and digest on that one.
I know. It. Believe me. You see why I had to go lay down for 3 days? I did. I thought, what am I going to do with this? You know, I'd been tracking all of this since 1980. I knew that I had always wondered about the nature of the energy that navigated people into my life. Since during my initial training which I see for 3.5 years. Every single person I questioned at least had one of these markings. I knew that there are universal harmonics governing all energies, but after this final demonstration, at last I had the decryption key, which connected me to several global plays that would affect the millions in the balance. I took these assignments with much trained discernment concerning certain celebrities and political figures who also had these markings, and some went on to great accomplishments. Others crashed and burned because of a lack of discernment or enough arrogance to be interloped and used as pawns by other galactic species having sinister intent. Whole nother story. But, most of these global plays were conducted through walk-in and walk-out experiments that were allowed to bring forth dimensional knowledge. Not much has been written or spoken of these procedures, as it creates, too much fear and apprehension to many who do not have the galactic manual of ET experiments.
Now, do you think that these galactic codes are universal beyond just the Pleiadians? Interaction and programs. Do all the races operate on particular frequencies?
I think that all species have a certain roadmap that they function through. If they have any of their prodigies or any of their people on the planet, it's almost like they all have to abide by the certain code. Like on planet Earth, we all have to abide by the magnetic energy of what keeps us our feet on the ground. Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Same principle.
They do have their methods of operation.
Right.
And you've had gathered enough evidence and experiences over the years that shows that when these windows open, usually between the 15th and the 20th of the month.
Yes.
Because
right.
Different months are different lengths. So
right.
Sometimes the sun can go into 25 degrees as early as the 15th of a month, or
right.
maybe as late as the 16th or even 17th, depending.
Yeah. Depending.
Depending. But you have seen patterns that as soon as these windows open, activity is heightened.
Right. Well, see, I started realizing that these codes were utilized for far-reaching experiments conducted by both sides of the galactic chess team. I noticed that they were being used by transit concerning alien abductions, cattle mutilations, major earthquakes, announcement of political careers concerning global plays, births and deaths of celebrities, technology inventions, airplane crashes, terrorist attacks, NASA space flights, major holidays involving the laws of America, such as the 4th of July. My tracking radar always gets turned up around Pleiadian lineup, which happens twice a year, from May 15th to the 20th and November 15th to the 20th of any given year, because I've learned that's when the most activity happens with Pleiadian experiments. That's when they actually come down in their ships. And later on in our radio show with Roy Dutton, he's going to explain how he has been tracking through his system when the ships come in and let out a little scout ship and when they come back. And he has pinpointed this May-November axis for me. So I'm very excited to have him to be our guest on a show that's coming up real soon.
Because he comes from a scientific background and completely has found the same patterns that you have.
It's a different kind of pattern. He's been tracking the crop circles, and when people call in to him saying, "Oh, I saw a ship," he has a certain computer program that he puts it on, and it's showing the validation of these dates. Yes, it is. It comes from a whole different perspective, which really gives me a lot of credibility now to have a scientist to step forward.
Yeah, and his work even extends beyond that that certain pattern, even to into predicting,
right.
knowing when they're going to show up,
right.
according to this formula that he has discovered.
Right.
And that will be that'd be a very interesting show to have him on.
I know.
And that will be coming up very, very soon, maybe in a couple of weeks.
You know, most of my tracking is done as an observer and scribe, but one observation got to me on a very deep emotional level, and it really made my heart sink to the bottom of my stomach as I saw the timings and correlations of the codes in regards to the missing children that were on milk cartons some years ago. You know, that one really upset me as I realized that the sinister energies were also using the star markings somehow to implement and track their experiments. After a while, the pictures on the milk carton stopped, but you know, the missing children kept on being a concern as thousands were vanishing without a trace. So that's always been something that I've, you know, had to think about and not want to think about at the same time. And then I noticed there were some mind control experiments, and that really put me over the edge. Every one of the ones that I tracked had these major star markings. So I got to see how both positive and negative ET programming and experiments were implemented on planet Earth. And because of the magnitude of what I had come to know, you know, I felt shaken to the core. And if it shook me, after all my training and contact with the Pleiadians, then I realized that the utmost discernment was needed about releasing this knowledge to the world. So I placed the information in a time release vault, not to open until a certain key coded activation had taken place. And after holding this responsibility for over 25 years, the activation has occurred, bringing me to this announcement. Because the vault is open, the information is being released in the proper sequence, because you know what? Now is the time.
And that's something that all starseed inherently know. It's programmed. And now how do you apply the star markings in your work with starseed?
When a person orders a chart from me, what I do is I take down their birth information, which is date, time, and place. I email them a chart. I get a phone number. I call them. And I also record it for them so that they will have it on an MP3 file. And I talk to them about their rites of passage and their natural state. Natural state is what a person is born with, but may not really realize how natural it is for them to be the starseed that they are. Rites of passage shows the place in their chart where they have the right to go ahead with their mission on the planet. You know, is their name on it? You know, a lot of people in the New Age community jump into things that their name's not on it, and pretty soon they get disenchanted or something happens where it just it falls through the cracks, and a lot of people don't realize that they didn't really have the rites of passage to be there in the first place. But if you know for sure, if it's in the chart, if it resonates deep in your soul, and you know, truth knows its own source. You know, there's so much happening now about misinformation and misalignment, but when you really get down to it, a person, if they really take a question, put it to the depths every time.
So by looking at someone's chart, you can track possibly what they came here to do?
Yes, and I'll tell you something else that's been happening over the last 6 months, especially since the Pleiadians came in November. I noticed it's really increased with me a lot. I'm finding that when I do a chart by phone, that I'll hear a person's voice. The voice seems to activate a separate computer that's in my head that's attached to them no matter where they are, and all of a sudden I'm talking about other things that I normally don't see in charts. It just, because their voice print triggers something in my beingness, and then pretty soon we have this two-way conversation that's flowing at a very natural speed, and yet I feel very accelerated to download this information. That's the only way I can explain it.
Now, there could be two people born at the exact same moment in the exact same time, and they'd have the exact same chart. Are both of them starseed?
You mean if they have the 25, 26, or 27 degrees?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm finding people that do have these markings, but they really aren't starseed in their evolvement, in their development. Not in the way of tracking the way that I've been tracking. There's something that will, you know, it's their questions. It's where they are spiritually, and spiritualism is a form of growing into galactic awareness. Your spiritual is a lot different than galactic, and through the years I've really had a problem with helping to define this between in the New Age movement. A lot of people that think that spiritual and galactic is the same, and no, it is not.
So if a person felt drawn to the sky, the beings, and really feels that they're different somehow, and they don't fit in, these are all symptoms of star seeds. And so possibly the person who might have been born with these star markings never give it a second thought and not actually be searching,
right,
or feeling
right.
the impulse to find out if they have the star markings. So because I've had people ask me that, you mean everybody that was born with these markings and I would have it? And I have to say, well, no. But if you have these other things and you have the star markings, then it can be confirmed. But certainly, there are people that are just not living looking up at the sky. They're busy.
Right. Well, let's take, for example, General Motors makes 3 million cars in a 6-month period, or whatever time period, and there's 3 million people born. It's like souls take bodies because they're like cars, and some of them the headlights work and the other ones don't because no one turns on the key to make it happen. You see what I'm mm-hmm. saying? It's like think of our physical bodies as a car. Some of us have our lights turned on and are ready for evolution. Okay.
Some there's nobody home. Is that what you're saying?
Well, kind of.
I see what you're saying. I'm thinking of it as everybody's got a phone and the phone line, because you would have these marks on your chart.
Right.
But just because you have a phone and the phone line doesn't mean anyone's going to call you.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does ring and you do pick it up, and you go, voila, oh mm-hmm. goodness, you know.
And that's the thing. You see, starseed are not born fully conscious of where they came from and who they are and why they're here and all that. There's a veil of some kind that they have to come and actually experience being Terran or Earthling, whatever you want to call it. But they just have this urging all the time. And I might mention that at this point we devised a starseed quiz that I'm sure a lot of starseed out there have seen various quizzes out there, but ours is a little different. It's a little more direct, and some of them are so general that it could be anybody. But we have a starseed quiz on our forum website, which would be starseedhotline.ning.com. And go on there and take a look at it. It's pretty interesting.
You know, I would like to just mention that this May, that from the 15th to the 20th, is going to be another Pleiadian lineup. And in last November, we had come on the planet millions and millions of walk-ins. Now, I will do a show separately about walk-ins. but I want to let the audience know that we have millions of Pleiadians that came, have taken bodies, are now getting adjusted. And it takes about 6 months of adjustment because the next activation will kind of propel them into their next evolution. And we're going to see some major changes happen with the environment, with social behavior, with political affairs, a lot of new ideas coming to the film industry, especially about time travel. Time travel is going to be a major, major theme coming up in the next 2 years. And also, since we had that earthquake in Chile, our timeline has shifted. And although December 21st, 2012, by the way, that date is 26 Sagittarius, which is a galactic marking, galactic center, I think that maybe it might be speeded up a little bit. We might have another date to look at besides December 21st, 2012. It's something that I'm researching now. So I just wanted to make that announcement about this May because of what happened in November already with millions of Pleiadians coming already as walk-ins, and be looking for new advanced technologies, and some very exciting things are going to be coming. Why? The Pleiadians came this past November in order to really facilitate the evolution of this planet. And in some places, it may call for revolution. You know, nobody said what this was going to look like.
Well, it seems that certain things that are going on in the planet have got to stop. And sometimes changes like that just don't happen gracefully.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I also look for some world leaders to be switched out and some walk-ins to come in and, you know, turn some things around on the planet. And we'll probably have a radio show that talks about some of those people on the planet. I'll probably be ready, probably after May is probably what I'm going to release that information. So stay tuned.
Okay, well, before we open up the lines to take any callers, I would like to give you some information. Once again, our website is starseedhotline.com. Our forum is starseedhotline.ning.com. And our toll-free number is 888-881-0881. And our call-in number is 917-889-8292. That's 917-889-8292. 8292. Lavendar, I would like to thank you so much for this first release of your discovery of star markings right here on Starseed Radio Academy. And we are ready for callers.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have a caller from Area 415. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Lavendar?
Hi. Yeah, I do, actually. A couple of things. Lavendar, you mentioned earlier in the interview today that there were 3 of 7 star markings. Do you care to divulge what the other star markings are, what those numbers are?
I'll be releasing that in another call. I'm still working on some of the documentation. But if you would email me, then I'll personally give it to you. And my email is lavendar@starseedhotline.com.
Okay. That's great. Also, you got me thinking about a movie that just came out, I guess, at the end of 2009 called The Fourth Kind. Did you see it?
No, I have not seen it.
It is very interesting about these star markings that are used by both sides of the chessboard, as you call it. It was a true documentary, and Ariel, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's a true documentary in Nome, Alaska, of several abductions that took place around September of 2000. Actually, there's been a history of it. It was a psychotherapist named by the, her name was Abby Tyler. And this, I just saw this the other night. It was a phenomenal true story. It was played side by side with actors that completely played out her documentary of all the videos she took of the people that she had under regression, regressive hypnosis.
Was this on TV or is it the, at the theaters?
At the theaters. It's a it's a DVD that I rented.
Oh, it's on DVD now. It's on DVD now at Blockbuster?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was wondering if either one of you had seen it.
No, but now that you've mentioned it, I'll be getting it this week.
Okay, I think you should because it's they had over 3,000 FBI investigations alone in the area of Nome, Alaska.
Wow.
And there were certain and witnessed abductions.
I'd be interested to see if it matches the if the people, how many of the people had these star markings and were these star marking dates when the abductions happened. It'd be a really interesting research project.
Yeah. And I want to thank you both for such incredible information on the star markings and your story, Lavender.
Well, thank you. Well, I tell you what, it's been very hard to just keep this in the vault. There were so many times I just wanted to jump out there. I got three planets in Sag with a bow and arrow, and my mouth's like a torn pocket at times. And so I just wanted to tell the world all the time. But I knew that I really couldn't until there was a certain time that, it's like a racehorse in the gate. You just have to stand and you wait till the bell rings. And that's what I had to do.
And now's the time.
Now is the time, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your question. And please go to the forum if you have further comments or questions. And we can continue the discussion. I do want to get to another caller.
Thank you, Ariel.
Thank you. Okay, we have a caller from 719 area. You're on the air. Hello?
This is Belva. How are you?
Hello, Belva. Good to talk to you. Welcome. Do you have a question for Lavendar?
Well, comment? I've known Lavendar for a very long time and watched her progression with a lot of people. And so this was interesting to hear everything that she spoke about today. And I just wanted to congratulate her for coming out.
Well, thank you, Belva. And Belva, I must tell our listeners, it was Belva that jumped on an airplane and delivered the second set of quartz crystals to us in Cairo, Egypt on Pleiadian lineup in 1983. I will never forget waiting. We were all getting ready to go inside the pyramid, and it was 2 hours before we were to go inside, and I was standing at the door waiting for Belva to walk in the door with those crystals. It was like, you talk about the 11th hour activation. But what had happened is that the first set of crystals that were delivered to me in New York, a person had taken out all the clear crystals and had just left junk. And so I called Belva and I said, oh, this is what's happened. And, she called the divers over in the Jeffrey Mines, and they went down in the water and got them and delivered them to Belva and her friend Carol, and they jumped on an airplane and came. And you talk about devotion and being on time with alignment. Is that Belva?
Yay, Belva. You're our hero.
Well, we all got to take our turn in the pyramid, laying in the sarcophagus. It was fantastic.
Your signal's breaking up a little bit. Could you repeat that, Belva?
I said we all, each of us, was available and able to lay in the sarcophagus in Egypt in the large pyramid.
Are you on your cell phone?
Yeah, well, I'm on
You need
bed.
To walk. You need to move a little bit because you're. You sound like you're way off in some. It makes you sound like Mickey Mouse. Now that's better.
Well, what Belva is talking about is actually the whole story. We have a video slideshow on our website that, through pictures and a narrative by Lavendar, tells that whole story. so you might want to check that out, too. It's on our videos page, and it's also on the headline news page.
Right, and also Belva is also on our website, and here's a lady that has so much knowledge about so many things, and mostly she answers health questions. She is just really right on with, I can't say diagnosis because that's not what she does, but you tell her, you know, some of the things that's going on with you, and she can certainly help guide you toward a healthier lifestyle.
Thank you so much, Belva, for calling and being so steadfast over all these years. We love you. And we are going to
love you, too, and thank you so much for answering me. I'm going to be on the lineup to be talked to.
We're always glad to have you with us. We're going to pick up the next caller now. Caller from 562, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi, it's Alicia in Long Beach.
Hello, Alicia.
Made it.
Thank you for joining us. Do you have a comment or a question for Lavendar?
I do. I have a question regarding the starseed markings.
Mm-hmm.
Because lately at school I have had these kids coming up to me, and I call them kids because they're basically born between 1985 and 1993. Was there another wave of star seeds that came to the planet at that time? Because they seem to be waking up, and I just keep running across more and more of them, and they just have that star seed energy to them?
Yes. Yes. In 1987, on August 20th, there was this gigantic Grand Trion at 26 degrees, okay, in fire. And, of course, Jose Arguelles marked it as the August Harmonic Convergence. But also what happened at that time is a whole new wave of souls that were just kind of, you know, they were all kind of lining up, waiting for bodies to be available so that they would have, you know, the starseed markings, plus the bloodlines. Bloodlines are really important, too, in this experiment that we're talking about. But after 87, for the next 19 years, this whole new wave of kids came in. And a lot of them just came right off the spaceship. A lot of them haven't been here before. A lot of them are coming from other planets, other dimensions. Here's one for you. Some of them are coming from parallel worlds.
You know, I was thinking that makes a lot of sense considering some of the kids that I have talked to.
Yeah.
They seem like starseeds, but they just seem so young. So I am kind of picking up on the fact that this is their first trip here.
Yeah, and, you know, and being the first trip here, you know, one of the things that they have to face right off is competition and survival and the harshness of some of the human behavior, the emotional behavior of people. Very, very hard in some of these starseeds. They don't know how to function.
That's why I see so many of them with depression, and
they're
just down, and they just have what I call existential blues, like there's no point to anything.
Right, and what you'll find is a starseed that really shines, and I saw one on TV the other day. She committed suicide, and it was because everybody was bullying her in school. She was beautiful. She was not popular because she was so different. She glowed. She was extra, you know, in her energy, and they all pounced on her, bullied her to the point, and they raped her, and then she killed herself. See, so it's like, okay.
That's awesome.
You know, this is a wake-up call for those of us that really can see this special child. And if bullying is going on, you know, those energies they become a mob. You know, like in the old Westerns, they say, get a rope, and then the mob goes and hangs somebody. Well, they're doing this in schools to these kids, to these star kids. And no one's really bringing this up. But I'm glad that you brought this subject up, Alicia, because now, see, you're in a position to kind of help guide some of the kids because I know you're older, you know, in some of your classrooms, because the kids that you're in school with now, are the kids you're talking about, right?
Yeah, a lot of them are.
Yeah.
And they came here to help.
Oh. And what did they get for their help? Being bullied. So
and a lot of them have special abilities that other people may not understand.
Right. Well, you know that show Heroes. Heroes is a perfect example of some of the new kids on the planet. And, of course, that show is based on a lot of truth. So, and a lot of teenagers are watching it. Of course, how about the Harry Potter series? You know, these Harry Potter kids have been growing up reading these books. You know, they know and understand it was probably one of the best things that helped some of these starseed is to read the Harry Potter books and see the movies.
It's okay to be different because in the future, the ones that are different now are going to be the norm.
Right.
Back, you know, backward thinking and oppression and competition and on all those lower vibrations, they just aren't going to play in the new age, and it will be the star kids and the starseed indigos and all the different categories that people have come up with. It's all starseed as far as I'm concerned. They're going to be the leaders, and they're going to be the norm in the future.
Thank you so much, Colin, Alicia. And Alicia also has some products on our website. She has some absolute astounding salts, especially the Violet Flame Transmutation salts. I use them all the time. And, you know, salt it has a way of breaking frequency if it's a disharmonic and it's an emotional, you know, emotional debris that we carry on our bodies and electromagnetics. Her salt is awesome. And I understand that she's about to make some emerald salt, which we call it the reset button salt. And so I'm anxious to try that. So thank you so much, Alicia, for that.
Thank you, Lavender.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you for calling in. We just have a few minutes left. And with that time, I have a question for you myself, Lavendar.
Okay.
Because this weekend on Sunday, we're going to have three planets at galactic degree, and if I could just get your...
I don't have my ephemeris in front of me.
I have it memorized.
Okay, tell me.
Neptune is at 27 Aquarius.
Okay.
Uranus is at 27 Pisces, and on Sunday the moon will be at 26, 27 degrees of Sagittarius.
Okay, this I can tell you just right off the top of my head that the 27 Aquarius at Neptune, here two things I feel will start happening. This is about the Atlantis material, Atlantean memories. It's where the Atlanteans lost their spiritual way in conducting their energetics toward each other, to the environment. It's where the place where they misused the crystal power, and they were coerced by other galactic beings to take technology way beyond what they were even willing to play with. And of course, when they went there, it caused the destruction of Atlantis. So the Atlanteans left and went to Arkansas, where they had been mining. They went there to mine the crystals. In fact, they took the crystals from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and went back to Atlantis, and they set up these little crystal stations that help control the weather. Hello, HARP, okay? And help bring the rains at the proper time and vegetation. But just before Atlantis went down, they went back to Hot Springs, Arkansas, went inside the mines, and said, you know, we need to leave codes for a future generation. They knew exactly what the timing of this would be. They knew the 26,000-year cycle would be coming again. This whole thing would be replaying itself again. So they left time-coded crystals in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Some of those crystals were crystals that I started gathering and putting out in the sun on those galactic days. But the Jeffrey Mines, where these Giza crystals came from, also were coded by the Atlanteans. So back to Neptune at 27 Aquarius. It's called the Ascension Key Code for the Atlantean Masters that want to bring their spiritual to a higher galactic degree in order for history not to repeat itself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's that one. What was the other one? You said
Uranus at 27 Pisces.
Okay. Uranus at 27 Pisces. This is a galactic code having to do with Knights of the Templar, the Crusades, religious bondage being broken. Of course, in the news right now, the Catholic Church is really under the gun because the Pope, when did he know it? You know, there's all kinds of things happening in the Catholic Church right now. Uranus is a planet of, it's like the mighty bolt of Thor. It's lightning. It's changeable. It's like, it's hitting at a gong that's going to resonate and shake everything loose everywhere. Everybody's going to be looking at their own religious training going, you know what, maybe I haven't been told the truth all this time. But mostly those crusade records and René La Chateau in France and you know, in England, a lot of, you know, going to see a lot of things happening. You know, some of the islands are going to start coming up, the invisible islands, you know, Avalon and some of the King Arthur times are going to be brought back to life. And I noticed again, you know, they're making more and more movies about Robin Hood and King Arthur, and they just keep making those movies. And there's another show called Merlin that's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel. So it's like when every time you have a planetary activation that's of a starseed vibration, and you look at the sign that it's in, see, the Pisces rules all the religious interaction that's happened in the past. It's bringing it forward. It's also clearing it and saying, look, you have the opportunity and the choice now. You're either going to go forward with this or you're not.
Well, we have about 45 seconds left. And in that time, just if you could very quickly go to the moon at 26 Sag and the...
Okay, truth is your protection. 26 Sag is the galactic center. It's the place that shines on that December 21st, 2012, which I said, I think that's been speeded up. So people need to go inside their own souls and recheck themselves and say, you know, what is my timeline? What is the time for me to pay attention to where I need to be? If all hell breaks loose, where do I need to be? And who do I need to be with?
Those are great questions. And while we're all thinking about that, I want to wish everyone a happy weekend. Lavendar, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For giving your time and sharing this show with me. And until next time, this is Arielle Taylor, and we'll say goodbye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.